2 Samuel chapter 22. This is the song that David spoke to the Lord after the Lord had saved him from Saul and from all his enemies. The Lord is my protector and my strong fortress. My God is my protection, and with him I'm safe. He is a shield to me. He defends me and keeps me safe. He is my saviour. He protects me and saves me from violence. I call to the Lord and he saves me from my enemies. Praise Yahweh. So, God, Yahweh, is a saviour. He saves us. And the name Jesus is a Greek word, but in Hebrew it's Yahoshua, Yahweh saves. So this is what God is really all about, saving us. Not just from problems that come up in life, but ultimately, of course, saving us to live forever in his kingdom. Now, when David was on the run from Saul, he never had any fortress or castle that he could run into. He was always just running from one place to to another. But he feels that God was his castle. And remember when Saul offered David his shield and his weapons, and David tried them on, and then he gave them back and said, "No, I'll fight Goliath just as I am, just with my 5 smooth stones and my sling." He gave back the shield to Saul. And he says here, "God is my shield." And indeed, that's how it was. He goes on, "The waves of death were all around me. The waves of destruction were rolling over me. Death was all around me. The grave was like a trap open for me. But in my trouble, I called to the Lord, and I called to my God for help. In his temple, he heard my voice and listened to my cry for help." So then he was living before the temple was built, but he understood that God is, as it were, in a temple in heaven. And his words in prayer entered right into that temple, right into the presence of God. And so this is the wonder of prayer, when we pray, that God actually hears our words. The God who is so far away in heaven actually listens to me. When you really appreciate that, it makes you really want to pray. And it makes you serious about praying, that you don't just pray, well, just automatically say a few words while you're actually thinking something else. But you're serious about prayer because those words are going into the presence of God. "The earth trembled and shook. The foundations of the sky appeared to rock and shake because of the anger of God. Smoke poured out of his nose, a consuming flame and burning coals from his mouth. He tore apart the heavens and came down with a dark cloud beneath his feet. He flew swiftly on the cherubim. He travelled on wings of wind. He covered himself with darkness. Thick clouds full of water were around him. Burning coals flamed up from the lightning that was going before him. Then Yahweh thundered from heaven, and the voice of God Almighty was heard. He shot his arrows, scattered his enemies. His flashes of lightning made them run away. The very floors of the oceans were laid bare. The foundations of the earth were uncovered when Yahweh rebuked his enemies, and in his wrath he roared at them. Yahweh reached down from above and took hold of me. He pulled me out of deep waters, rescued me from my enemies that were more powerful than me, and from all those who hate me, those who were too strong for me. When I was in trouble, they attacked me, but the Lord protected me. He brought me out of danger and saved me because he was pleased with me. The Lord rewards me because I do what is right. He blesses me because I'm innocent. I have obeyed the Lord of Yahweh. I have not wickedly departed from my God. I've observed all his laws. I've not despised his commandments. He knows that I am without fault, and I have kept myself from my iniquity. And so he rewards me because I have done what is right, and he knows that I'm innocent." But when you think of how David behaved with Uriah, getting him murdered in order that he could take Bathsheba to be his wife, and committing adultery with him, and how he killed people very freely, when you put all those things together, it does seem that David was being rather self-righteous, talking about how innocent he was, because he wasn't. And it makes you wonder how he could say all this. Well, he does say in the Psalms that he sinned so badly there was no sacrifice to cover him, and so he throws himself upon God's mercy, and then he says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord counts righteousness." And in Romans, Paul talks about that and says that we are sinners, but God counts us as if we're righteous. So I can only assume that at this point in his life, he really did believe that. And he believes that he is innocent before God. Not that he was, because he'd sinned, but because he really did believe that God counted him as righteous, although he wasn't. He goes on, "O Lord, you're faithful to those who are faithful to you, and you do good to those who are complete for you. To the pure you show yourself pure, and to the wicked you show yourself to be hostile. You save the humble, but you humble those who are proud." Now, why does God humble the proud? Not simply because he wants to punish them for being proud, but because he wants to save them. Let's just read that again. "You save those who are humble, and you humble those who are proud." So he humbles the proud because he wants to save them. None of us like proud people. We find them rather obnoxious, rather not very nice to be with. But God wants to save them as well. And so he humbles them. Of course, some people get humbled, but they still don't turn to God. But that's his intention, that people should be saved. "You, Lord, are my light. You drive away my darkness. You give me strength to attack my enemies and power to overcome their defenses. This is the God who is perfect in all his ways and absolutely trustworthy in what he says. He is a shield to all those who seek his protection. Yahweh alone is God. God alone is our defense." And I think he's referring there to the tendency Israel always had to worship idols. He's saying, no, you can't have God or Yahweh as your support, as the one you trust in, and also all your other gods. He alone is God. Now, we know that God is one. There is only one God. There's no Trinity. There's not 10 gods. There's not 100 gods. There's only one God. And because of that, we should trust upon him alone. Only, literally onely. "This God is my strong refuge. He makes my way to be in safety. He makes me as sure-footed as a mountain deer. He keeps me safe on the mountains. He trains me for battle so that I can use the strongest bow. O Lord, you protect me. You are my saviour. Your gentleness has made me great." I love that. "Your gentleness has made me great." God is very gentle with us. He really is. And he is gentle because he wants to exalt us in due time. "You have kept me from being captured, and I have never fallen. I pursue my enemies and defeat them. I do not stop until I destroy them. I strike them down so that they cannot rise and they lie defeated. You give me strength for the battle and victory over my enemies. You make my enemies run from me. I destroy those who hate me." Well, when you win, it's in anything, be it a game, be it in anything, when you succeed, it's very easy to think that this is what I did and well done to me. But all the time he's saying, "You gave me this strength. You gave me the victory." And especially in matters of warfare and physical combat, there is particularly a tendency for men to glory in their own strength and in their own bravery. And so David is really commendable here when he keeps saying, "Look, you gave me all these victories. It was in your strength and not mine." "Others look for help, but nobody saves them. They call to Yahweh, but he doesn't answer them." I think he's referring to Saul, the night Saul died, when he called to the Lord, but God did not answer him. "I crush them and they become like dust. I trample on them like the mud and dust in the streets. You saved me from my rebellious people and maintained my rule over the nations. People I never knew have become subjected before me. Gentiles bow before me. When they hear me, they obey. They lose their courage and come trembling from their fortresses. The Lord lives, and praise be to the one who defends me. proclaim the greatness of the strong God who saves me. He gives me victory over my enemies and subdues the nations beneath me and saves me from my enemies. O Lord, you give me victory over my enemies and protect me from violent men. And so I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to you. So he wants the nations, the Gentiles, to come to believe in God. That was the intention. And when he sins with Bathsheba, he says, often I'm going to tell the good news of God's grace to all the nations. Well, there's a lot of Hebrews at that time thought that, well, we are the people of God and it's only for us. And sure, God was working through the seed of Abraham in a physical sense at that time. But David had this vision, this far wider vision, to bring the Gentiles to know God. And so, although he's saying, you know, God gave me victory over the Gentiles, he's saying that he wants them, therefore, to understand that God, Yahweh, is the only God and was with David, and he could be their God as well. It is God who gives victory to his king. He shows his steadfast love to the one whom he has chosen, to David and to his seed forevermore.